Okay. All right, I would like to call the Monday, May 16th, 2022 workshop to order. Firstly, a public comment. If there's anybody that would like to speak, you can step up to the podium, state your name and address. Go ahead, Mr. Thomas.
I just came down with one thing that I'm going to do. I called the town office. The trash truck tore my trash can up.
Okay.
Okay, I asked them if I could get a new one. That was a month ago. Do you think I can get a new one?
Yeah, we could take a look. So do you know what happened with it? Because sometimes it's with just the lid. They can replace just the lid.
The lid got on and busted the lid off and cracked the back all the way down. So they can come look at it. If not, I'll take some metal and screw it together, I guess.
Okay. All right, we'll take a look. Can you check with Steve on for Mr. Thomas's? Thank you. We'll get you a new can, or at least a repaired lid.
Do you need his address? Or?
No, I don't. Use my name.
There you go. All right, next we have, can I have Chief McDermott and Officer Bear Kane and Officer Adams and K-9 Mosley, please? Oh. Don't hurt her. So first, we would like to thank you for your service for the town of Fredericksburg. So we have a proclamation for you guys. From the Mayor and Council of Fredericksburg, we would like to proclaim May 15th through the 21st, 2022, National Police Week. Whereas National Police Week honors the service and sacrifice of law enforcement officers who protect our communities and safeguard our democracy. And whereas there are more than 800,000 law enforcement officers serving courageously to keep our communities safe around the nation. And whereas more than 15,000 police officers work to protect communities throughout Maryland. And whereas serving in law enforcement is a dangerous career, and more than 600 law enforcement officers made the ultimate sacrifice in the line of duty last year. And whereas we honor the sacrifice of all those who have lost their lives to keep us safe. And whereas the residents of Fredericksburg stand together and appreciate and support the men and women of the Fredericksburg Police Department, and we remain committed to working together to build a safer Fredericksburg. Now, therefore, Mayor and Council of Fredericksburg do hereby proclaim May 15th through the 21st, 2022, as National Police Week in the town of Fredericksburg, and honor the men and women of our department who have served and are currently serving in law enforcement.
Thank you, Madam Mayor.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you very much for your support. We appreciate it. You guys, we'll put you first in the docket so you need to hang out.
You know, we lost about a little over 600 last year since the last police week. And that's just those that are either feloniously killed or died otherwise in the line of duty. We've lost at least four times that many to suicide. It's one of the rampaging things within our profession that's taking a lot of our lives. It's one of the reasons why as I've talked to Mayor and Council about, we're doing a lot of things with creating a chaplaincy program, which the pastor is very familiar with, and some other things with mental health and other areas where we can holistically approach this job. Because not only is it difficult to keep people in the job, as a lot of the communities around here are shorthanded, sometimes in double digits. That's not been our problem here. But holistically, we want to approach this job to make this the very best work environment that our people can be in all aspects for them, for their family, and for their future, so that they don't wind up being a statistic down the road. And we really appreciate the recognition because sometimes a lot of places do not recognize the efforts and what's going on. And this town has been blessed beyond measure with lowering crime rates and safe streets. And that's in large part due to our citizens, their involvement, the support of the Mayor and Council, and above all, the courageous efforts of my staff, which I can't say enough about. So I thank you for this very much.
Well, thank you. That also goes to your leadership, and we appreciate the job that you guys do every day for us. So thank you. Okay. I think it's either we do one before. All right, next on the docket, we have the request for funding support from ARPA for the Fettlesburg Activity Center. You guys can step up to the podium. Who's talking tonight?
Yes, they have. Well, I'm going to start it. I want to give you a little background of us, because I think that when you ask for money, and we ask them for $50,000, there have to be some trust, because you're going to give us money, and you have to believe that we're going to do the right thing with it. So I want to say that we've been, First Amendment for Change have been doing this for 12 years, and we have never approached the town for anything. And for 12 years, we've self-funded ourselves. And I guess I can say this, probably in the 12 years we've been doing this, probably out of my own pocket, I've probably spent over 50 grand. So I don't think we're asking for too much. And I think that this next phase of what we're doing and what we have already done, the chief was talking about the low crime rate. I think the reason we have such a low crime rate is because a lot of the kids over the last 12 years that may was going to turn out to be those that was in criminal activity, they not, because they were coming to our program. And our program was behind the scenes. A lot of people didn't even know about it. But we've been doing this for 12 years now. And so we're asking for this money to complete the building. Now, I know that everyone believes that it's like we got the grant from the state and that we just can spend that money. We can't. That's why we need the $50,000 seed money. The grant money is reimbursement. So we have to raise the money to do the work. Then we submit it to the grant people, and they'll reimburse it to us. In the end, we get it back. But they don't give us the money to pay the contractors after he do the work. Up to this point, we have raised over, I think, about 60 grand. We thought we'd done pretty good. And every dime of that had went into that building. And we just got the loan from Providence. We thought we had some money in the bank. We thought we had about 25, 30 grand. They took 20 between closing costs, and they made us put about 13,000 in escrow. So that brought us back down to a very little in the checking. But we saw that we had enough in the checking account to go ahead and start on the front. So we got a contract out there right now that should be starting on the front of the building by the end of May, and so that we can get the front of the building done. But after that, as far as the count for remodeling the building, it's empty. So if we can get this money, what we can do, I could call up, because I've been basically working with the contractors. I could basically call up the electrical contractors, and I could call up the plumbing contractors, and I could tell them they can go to work, because then we could pay them. And after them two, basically what we got left is the the air condition and the flooring, and we're done. So we're so close. We're going to get it done. And we believe that because we wouldn't be here asking y'all for any money, except we know y'all got some from the state with the American Rescue Act. And we believe that some of that money should go to equity programs. And we think that we fit right into that area of that program. So we don't think that we're asking for too much. We think that this is going to be one of the biggest things that ever have happened in Fellowsburg. So, and we already have plans for the building. When that time comes, the Men for Change would do their program in the building. We hope we can get the senior citizens in the building. Actually, the people up to the Judy Center they approached us and told us, well, when we get it done, come talk to them, because they might have be able to use some of that building. That would be extra income. And even the scouts had talked to Ron, Chaplain Ron, because they had to leave Fellowsburg, and they would be happy to come back to Fellowsburg. So I really think that if we can get this building done, it's already too small for what we could do with that building. And I think it's going to be one of the best projects that have ever went on in this town. But the other thing, economically to me, this project is going to bring people back downtown, because their children are going to be downtown. And so this helps the businesses out of downtown. People, if people come downtown, you got businesses downtown, they'll visit the businesses. So I just think that this project is one of the greatest projects that we have ever had. And but I'm hard on that. I believe that there just has to be a little trust. Have to be a little trust. Everyone you get money from, it's a little trust. Because you never know, really. But our track record has proven what we have done with every dime over the last 14 years us dealing with children. And I think that's enough right there. And so we really do need this money. We need it as quickly as possible. This has been long enough, actually. I think we should have had the building done by now. And sometimes I'm an impatient man. I like it. Because it's important. It's not for me. I'm going to die. I may not have that many years left. So we're not doing this for us. You look at us. All of us got age to us. So we're in a hurry to get it done so we can get it up, so we can get people in there, so that this building can be here forever for our generation, for the next generation, and for the next generation, and so that Fellowsburg, our town, would be a town where the children will want to stay right here in Fellowsburg, because there's great jobs here. There's electrical jobs, there's HV jobs, there's all kinds of jobs in Fellowsburg. I don't even know if our children know. So what we're trying to do here is for the town of Fellowsburg, and we need this. And so we're just asking the council to consider it seriously. We want to go ahead and get this done, and the sooner that you could give us the funds is the sooner we can get it done and we can move into the building, and we'll all see the great something that no other community this size that I know of had. So the council will be proud of what you've done, and we'll be proud of what we've done. Thank you.
A couple Sundays ago, my husband Michael and I, we had finished at church. We went to McDonald's because we were going to go to a spaghetti supper that night. So we just wanted to go into McDonald's. So we were in a McDonald's, and we had our order and everything, and we were sitting there, and right on that, there were a whole bunch of tables and chairs, and the kids were having a ball. There were two or three adults, but they were mostly children. They were just having so much fun. And we watched them, and we were amused by it and everything, and then they all left. And when they left, of course, there were crumbs and things on the floor and everything. So a lady came, and she was starting to sweep up. My husband said, that's the manager, because she was in different things. And she was saying, oh, I'm so glad these kids came. I just love children, and I think it's great when we see kids having this much fun and everything. And my husband spoke up, and he said, do you have children? She said, yes. She said, I've got four. And she said, we really have a lot of problems. They live in the brick apartments there. Our church is here in a couple blocks there. We always call them brick row. I don't know what you call them. And she said, it's so dangerous that our kids can't go out in the yard and play or anything. We keep them in the house. So my husband started talking about the Fellowsburg Activity Center. And I want you to know that woman got so excited. She said, you can count on me. She said, I'll be there with all my kids. And she said, when are you going to open? And I said, well, we have a great, great faith. We would like to be open for something by July 4th. Something. I don't know what it'll be. But that's just one incident of a mommy with children. The area around her is too dangerous. They have no place to play. And they would come to the activity center. Just a mommy at McDonald's. That's who we're trying to serve. So I hope you catch the vision. I hope you want to partner with us. It's a great thing. Great thing. Greatest adventure I've had so far. We are asking you to join with us.
I just want to share my experience working with Men for Change. I've been working once a month for several months with the young kids, both male and female. I've seen the progress. I've seen the vision. I've seen what can happen when these kids are mentored, and the difference in the behavior from kids I know on the street and the kids that are in this program. It is very noticeable. The boys generally play basketball when I'm there. I went a couple of times when we were just at Pastor Stanford's church. It's very small. You can't really accommodate much activity. Having the center will open this up for many more kids to benefit from this program. I've seen where Pastor Stanford and others have mentored the kids. They gather them together. The kids' attention is focused on what these men are saying to them and directing them and guiding, explaining the difference in their behavior, responsibility, all the activities, all the things that we want to nurture in the children. When I do a craft project with the kids, which is a very small part of what they get, their rapt attention, they totally are into the project. I mean, it's exciting for me to be a small part of, you know, helping these kids, and they really appreciate everything that is done for them. My vision of what we can do in that center, we already have people who have donated supplies. Marjorie Scott, when she graduated, gave us all this art supplies that she was going to throw out from the high school. Lady is giving me tomorrow night a whole tote of puzzles. People want to support this, and we're going to get it done one way or another, whether we get your money or whether we have other sources, but we need to get this open. And so that's why we're appealing to you. Thank you.
Anybody else? David?
Just, I know this dream started with us, but it started a long time ago. We've been trying to progress and progress. And even at the beginning, it was our desire to get that Dollar General building, but I know these 10 years ago, that's what we locked in at, but it never came to pass until it didn't tell the nail. And it was like my niece, the reason I really wanted to start the mentoring was because my niece used to hang out at the red light, and I used to ask her why she hang out at the red light with all these little boys. You know what I mean? And it was the same thing because they had nowhere to go. You know what I mean? They said they come outside, they stayed in the apartment. So they come outside the apartment, they couldn't really do nothing because of the drugs and activities going around in the apartments, right? That they didn't, parents didn't want them involved in that. So they came downtown and realized that was the safest place for them to be. So to me, it was saying that during the winter, our kids have nowhere to go. During the summer, I guess they could go to the boat dock. So that's pretty much it. So by the time the kids be locked down the whole winter time, when spring hit, I mean, they off the hook because they want to get out the house and they want to have some fun. So, but in my heart, I would say, why we can't have something for them kids to do during the winter months? But this is for year-round, which make it even better, you know what I mean? Because the kids that we do mentor, I notice when I go over to the school that they act a whole lot better. Even if they're not acting good, if they're acting up, I can pull them to the side and talk to them, and they'll kind of like settle down and go back in class, right? So we do have quite an impact on them wherever they at. It's not like just at the center we have control over. We have control over them wherever we go at, you know what I mean, and wherever we see them at. But even with the businesses, I've talked to some of the businesses, they want to come in and have seminars about, I talked to Livewood and Joe Noah, he wants to come in and have a little class to teach the kids about electrical stuff, you know what I mean? So that way, if we get our kids locked in at a younger age and start setting goals with them, they'll be able to start dealing with electrical stuff and any job in town, you know what I mean, they will come in and start kind of like getting focused on what they want to do with their life, because it's very important. Some of the kids that we kind of catch young, a little bit later with the program, they don't know what they really want to do, and they're in the 10th and 11th grade. The younger ones that we got, we're trying to get them to get focused when they're in the 6th or 7th grade, so by the time they get to the 10th, 11th, 12th grade, they pretty much know what they want to do. But we got to give them an environment where we can speak to them and talk to them and get them encouraged and get them focused. And the places that we got right now, it's not suited for what we do. It's really not. Even when we do the thing over to Pastor Ray Parsons Church, the guys get to play basketball, but the other kids can't do nothing because we don't have enough room over there. And when we at my brother's church, we definitely don't have enough room. We've been getting quite a few referrals from the school, from juvenile services over in Denton. We have got a whole lot of kids referred to us, right? But the problem is right now we really don't have nowhere to deal with them at, because we really don't have enough room. But we're hoping that as soon as we get this building up, we can handle all that. And it's been a fun ride so far, but we still ain't got where we need to get. And we need all the help we can get. Sometimes you get this close, they start getting discouraged, and we don't want to get discouraged, because this, like my brother said, this really ain't for us, you know what I mean? But 10, 20, 30 years from now, all our names that had a part to play in this, you know what I mean, will be up on that building. You know what I mean? So your grandkids will come and see that you had something to do with it. And that's my desire, because like we said, we're not going to be around for the long run. But as long as we're here, we're going to try to get this done. And we need your help as much as possible. And like I said, as soon as possible. You already explained to me the grants, no?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we kind of get it, huh?
Yeah. So, soon. Okay, so, I just thank y'all for giving me time to speak. I had to run up here on my lunch break. I had to get back to work. But it's important. You know what I mean? When something's important, they say you always make a way. So I had to make my way to make sure I got down here. And I just hope that y'all can work it out, whatever details need to be done, so we can go ahead and get this thing going. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Does anybody else want to talk? Thanks. David.
Thank you. Well.
So the one thing I did want to ask, so the plot of grass that's next to you guys, what was the plan for that?
Well, we had went over to Easton and what's the name of that? The conservative.
The conservation people?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And we had talked to them, and they talked a little bit about how they could come over here and plant plants and stuff in there for us. And we thought that was one ideal, so that it would be neat. And they say they would put plants in there because, you know, water sets in there. And they was going to plant plants and make it look really, really good. And, you know, but my thought for that actually is to build on. Because I think we're going to end up needing it. And I always think about how do we running that building, do something to create income to run the building. And when I was working at Earl's Logistics, I worked there 24 years. One of my best friend's wife, she was a member of the Shropness Club in Seaford, Delaware, and they owned a park in Seaford over there beside the hospital. But they also run that thrift shop, that little thrift shop over there. And all the money they raise at that little thrift shop goes to the park fund to run the fund. And she told us that with that little thrift shop, they raise $50,000 or more a year. But people just give them clothes, and they sell them for $1, $2, $3. So I said, wow, that's an idea. If we could add on to the building where that grass is at, make it into a little thrift shop, and create some income over the years for that building.
Okay. So we've been participating in, we're trying to get the town of Fiddlesburg sustainable certified, which allows us to apply for more grants. And one of the things is community gardening and food shortages for your community members. So I thought that Grassy Spot would be a great place to plant tomatoes and vegetables to teach the kids about growing vegetables and growing a garden, but then they also get to take the food home for them to eat so that they have, you know, something to eat. But then somebody had mentioned that you guys were talking about putting like a formal garden in there, and but so I was just curious as to what.
Well, I think that's great, because even if we would want to build on that's a nice piece of land.
Mm-hmm.
We wouldn't need the whole thing. We can use half of it for a garden, because we always wanted a garden ourselves. So even with what I'm saying here, it's not for the complete area. So I do believe we could use at least half of it, for a community garden.
Okay.
And certainly in the short term, you could, until you're ready to expand, you know, in the years leading up to that, you could use it as a garden
could always sell
for now. And,
yes.
You know.
We talked about using containers to make a container garden.
Yeah. So, okay, very good. Does anybody have any other questions for the team?
So, I think your vision of this property is, I mean, it's admirable. You're checking all the boxes. You're providing a place for young kids to come, which is something we hear over and over and over again. You're taking a building that's vacant and you're turning it into something that we can be proud of. I mean, when we were talking before, and I said I kind of need some more information. It comes from just the idea that I want everything I vote for, I want to be able to explain to someone what I just did. Does that make sense?
Yes.
So just to clarify, our $50,000 would allow you guys seed money to cash flow the $100,000 grant you got from the state. And that would start to see you through. You have 6 or 7 phases, is what you said last time, right? 6 phases. That would start to see you through the phases. And then once that $100,000 is exhausted, the 50 would then be used to continue on in the phases?
It would be operational.
And operational.
It would be, yes.
Okay. Okay.
This is not just a youth center. I haven't approached yet, I'm putting it after the bingo, to call Upper Shore Aging for the seniors. I talked to somebody who used to teach Zumba, mm-hmm. one of those type classes, about maybe having exercise class there. Marjorie Scott and others would be willing. I know you've talked to people at the Caroline County Center of Arts.
Arts Council.
Housing Council, that's it. So that there could be other opportunities. We want this to be for everyone in the community.
Sure.
And the surrounding area.
And that's where having that information, and I think since then we've been able to see the outline of the phases, some of the elevation draws. I had not seen any of that, which is helpful and sort of, but I want to be, when someone from the public comes up and says, you gave them 50 grand, don't they have 100,000 from the state? Don't they have this from this other? To be able to explain, yes, but here's the deep, you know, the devil is always in the details.
Yes.
And you guys gave a lot more clarity tonight about what that $50,000 would do.
Yeah, I didn't know the $100,000 was a matching. That you had to, like...
Yeah. It was reimbursable.
It was reimbursement. We thought they gave you the check for the $100,000. I didn't know it was reimbursable.
But I also want to make clear, at least my questions were never about what's this program doing, why are you going to do this. I got your vision. I just wanted to be able to explain what the money was going for. When it's kind of public knowledge, there's these other pockets of money that are all coming in. It's sort of like, well, wait a minute, what exactly is going on? So to me, it makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
We're cash flowing. You get to exhaust that grant, and then either it becomes operational or it sees you through the balance of the phases. Because I think last time when we talked, it was we need $50,000 for phase one and two. And that led me to, well, what is one and two? What's 3, 4, 5, and 6? Like, how much do they cost? Like, does another...
Right.
And that was my... Like, does another request come in then for more money for 3, 4, 5? Like, you know, we just had questions.
Right.
And that was the... So, you guys have clarified that. But I don't want you to think you needed to come here tonight to sell us on the vision. We got that. It was the details of exactly what it was we were voting for. And in my case, it's because I want to be able to explain every action that I take. I want to be able to make sure I fully understand it, or else I can't vote for it, because it's not my money.
Well,
it's all our money, you know.
I agree with you totally, so.
May I make another point?
Sure.
We've heard from somebody that has dealings with the state, and I know you all deal with people, they consider what we are envisioning as a model program for the state.
Mm-hmm.
This could elevate Fettlesburg in a whole different way. If we can see this come to fruition, start the programs, think what it could do for other communities, and think what it does for Fettlesburg.
Mm-hmm. Agreed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think that was the big thing, and I think that was the where we was losing communication with everybody about the grant money.
Right.
It's really not money I can go and pay a contractor.
Right.
We need that seed money. And that seed money, as you say, the cash flow, it flows thing into the grant. They
reimburse you.
And then it flows.
Keep on going. Yep.
Yeah. We know how that works.
We,
yeah.
Have, we know how that works.
That's how most of our projects work around here. We pay and they get reimbursed.
Sort of echoing Councilman Willoughby, I too did not understand that your hands were tied with that money until you had other funds to move on. And so I'm really glad that you guys came and explained all of that to us. And it was what you shared was very well thought out. And like my colleagues, I mean, we get it. We want you here. So, I mean, that is not our issue. But
is the new $50,000 also the same way?
So that's the only thing that made me think if we could finish the building with the first 100,
right?
I would think whether maybe the other 50 will build that thrift store for us.
We have to be sustainable.
Yes. And you guys, there's the bingo Sunday. We're going to the bingo on
Please
Sunday. So
tell everyone about your bingo on Sunday.
I am so excited.
Yes.
Bingo lady. We've had so much support. It is amazing. I had somebody come to my door last night and give me a $100 gift card to use.
Nice.
Awesome.
I've had so many people offering turkey tray items. We have a fabulous purse that somebody gave us for the door prize. We have you might have seen the picture of the 22-inch tabletop grill. You can use it for tailgates or whatever. Take it to the beach. There's a lot of good items and a lot of good purses, and we just need people.
So doors open at 11?
Doors open at 11.
And bingo starts at noon on Sunday?
At 1, yeah. That way you have time to get, we'll have hot dogs, nachos, bake sale. So do your fun stuff, visit, and then...
So do you need help with setup? Because I can come help set up, or I can come help Sunday if you need help.
Sunday would be excellent.
Okay.
Yeah, we will, because we have to get all that done early.
Okay.
And we're setting tables up Saturday night, but everything else is Sunday morning.
Okay.
Thank you.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, I'm glad you said that because I was thinking fire hall, so I would have showed up the wrong place.
You know, since our treasurer is
right, yeah, that makes sense.
I would have been looking for you. Like, where are you? Very good. Thank you, guys. Thanks for coming. It was very helpful to know the tidbit about the state grant money because we did not know that piece. We just knew that you got one. We didn't know the part of the flow.
Yeah. Well, in the beginning, I thought they was going to write me a $100,000 check. I said, we're done.
We're gone. We got this.
Yeah.
There's like, that fine print.
Roll.
The fine print.
Yeah. Fine print. Also, us owning the building.
Yeah. Well, that's the other fine print.
The hard way.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. But it's good. You guys own the building.
Yes.
Things are moving forward. And we're all paddling in the right direction. Yes. So that's all good.
We are sending out. We're ready to send out an appeal letter for the business community.
Oh, perfect. Okay.
So we're doing lobbying.
Great, yeah. Yeah, very good. And Pastor Bim, I have to get with you to get that stuff reset so I can get in there. Put the QR code for the PayPal. So I'll catch up with you. I'll get up with you at the church. So I know, right? Actually, Sunday. I will catch up with you Sunday.
Yes.
We can get that squared away. All right, thank you guys so much.
We
appreciate
it. Thank you so much.
Okay, next on the docket, we have Scott Getchell from GMB for engineering services for task orders for Chambers Lake Dam and street paving and repairs.
That's a lot.
Yeah, it is.
Larry asked me to come here to discuss these things, and it's a working session, so I've done some research, and I don't know if you would like me just to start with what I've learned.
Sure.
And go from there and question and answers and things like that. Start with the dam. Okay, so I have the report that came from the Maryland Dam Safety folks, and this is new for me, but I know it's not new for you, because obviously this has been going on for some time. So in order to satisfy this mandate, I guess you'd call it, or directive from these folks, there's a lot that's going to have to be done. And I know I'm going to sit here and be the bearer of bad news. But
you're just going to confirm it.
Yeah. I don't mean necessarily immediately boots on the ground, hands on stuff. There's a lot of engineering work that has to be done here to satisfy this mandate. And so I spent time speaking to colleagues of different disciplines, and in order to do this and do it right, this is going to require our structural team, our stormwater folks, and geotechnical. It's going to take all three to get you a compliant plan together based on what we have here and their experience as well. So since we have the on-call, you know, I think the idea is for us to just generate a task proposal under that on-call to do this if you want to go forward. I think what I understood from Larry is that this, you're looking for something to just go ahead and budget and get this thing going. It's not necessarily an emergency, but you want to get it going. And I think that's where I'm at. But I can certainly answer questions that you may have about it.
So I guess my concern is when I looked at all the documentation and how far back it goes and how this can has been kicked down the road for a very long time. this should have been dealt with. I mean, and this is what happens when you don't deal with a problem, right? It's now exponentially worse and more expensive to fix than if they would have even at least started it when they were supposed to start it. I mean, the one letter is from 1993. Mm-hmm. It looks like it was on a typewriter.
William Dyer Schaefer, governor.
So, I mean, that's where I'm just like, geez, now we're cleaning up a lot of mess. But I don't think we have a choice, and we need to get it done. So I think starting with a proposal of what's going to itemizing out, I guess, based on priority needs, yeah. in my opinion, right? Like, all right, first thing is X, Y, Z, and then rank mm-hmm. them in order of what we need to do to try to budget it to get. Mm-hmm. I mean, and it might be two or three phases. It might be four phases. But I think if we get a plan of what needs to be done to start tackling each item and what the priority is for each item, that would help us make a decision on what to fund and how quickly we need to fund it or how we can turn it back around faster. Or even apply for grants to help us with it.
Yeah, I mean, the first order of business is to get a compliant plan together.
Right.
You know, and that's a lot of back and forth between us and these people until we get a stamp of approval and say, and they say go. Then we're talking about bidding for construction and so forth and that piece of it. Mm-hmm. I talked to Steve about this briefly last week, and I don't know, you know, I'm just throwing this out there. I don't know if there was a consideration to do away with the dam instead of trying to rehabilitate the dam works. I'm not sure. But from my research on this, I don't know if you can do that or not.
Well, that's what I was wondering. So where it flows, right, it flows down the hill, it loops around, and then it dumps into the Marshy Hoop.
Yeah.
So I don't know what the purpose of it was. The dam just for overflow from Chambers Lake?
It was a recreational dam. I mean, it was for swimming. And
the lake was, but what's the purpose of the dam? I mean, why was there a dam put on that lake?
Is to raise up the water level. Yeah. They created a lake.
Right. Yeah. So in order for them to have Chambers Lake, which they drained all the time, right, to clean it out, right? Because I wasn't here when they used to swim in Chambers Lake, right? So they would drain it. I heard they would drain it, like, and do some stuff, clean it out or whatever, and then let it fill back up again. That was way before my time, too. I mean, I knew they used it for swimming, but I didn't know if there was just naturally water up there, and somebody said, oh, we need to put a dam here to keep it from flowing to create the lake for people to swim, and that's now caused this problem, or whether... we have to have it, right? I don't know. Do we even have to have the dam? Can we just do the retaining wall and leave the lake there, Chambers Lake, and not have it where it's a spillway? Or do we have to have it because of the overflowing? We have to have the...
You have to have a means to move water.
Okay. So does it naturally feed itself? I'm assuming, I guess, if that's the case, if it fills back up. Obviously, it's not just rainwater putting water in there, right? I'm guessing it's spring-fed?
It's intercepting a natural creek of something. You know, I don't know enough about it yet, but... It has to be intercepting a natural creek.
If you look at the picture, like the aerial view, is there anything that feeds it from somewhere else? Because right now it feeds into Marshall.
There's that little creek right at the end of Maryland Plastics, right? It sort of goes.
And that does that there. Run? But does that run? I'm just wondering what feeds Chambers Lake, right? Is it just an underground spring that continually feeds it, which is why we have to have the dam?
Could be.
Or is there, like, a waterway? I've only been... There's only so far I can get around, like, around Chambers Lake. I've never walked all the way around it. I've been back down to it, and I've parked and walked sections of it, but I've never walked all the way around to see if I can loop the entire lake or if I can... when you get to a certain point, if you have to step over some water source that's feeding it.
Yeah, I don't know.
Okay.
There's a creek that runs back through the development where I live that runs over into it. I do know that. But I don't know where it comes beyond that.
It says it was originally constructed across Tanyard Branch in 1937. So that must be the creek.
So that's the portion that feeds into... The Marshy Hill, like north of what's north of Central Avenue.
On the other side of the bridge.
Yes. Yes, on the north side, that little cutout is what's fed from. Okay.
Well, part of the mandate here is to do a hydraulic analysis, and that will determine what's coming and going out.
Okay.
It has to. So, and again, I hate being the bearer of bad news, but it is a significant effort because our guys have done this in a few other locations, and it's a lot of work. And then there's a fair amount of back and forth with the regulatory people to get it approved. So, you know, but once we get through that hurdle and we have a set of plans, then it's on to construction from there. and then that'll probably be rather costly too. So I think that's kind of a natural phase. Let's do the plan, let's get the plan done, and then budget for it. Because we can do construction cost estimating, and then see what that's going to be, and then go out to bid.
Okay. Do you have any other questions?
No.
All right. Next.
So do you want a proposal, I think?
Yeah, I think that's where we're going to have to start with that, broken out with itemized.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
And I would be curious to see what feeds it, because when you look on Google Maps, there's no water source coming into it. It feeds Tanyard Branch stream, but there isn't anything that dumps into Chambers Lake. Oh, at least on Google Maps, if it's not big enough to warrant being on the satellite.
It
but
could be a natural spring.
It could be.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right. Okay. Yeah, I guess we'll start with the outline and the formal proposal of what's going to need to be done to get it.
I'll work on that.
Thank you.
Now the roads?
Yeah, okay. The next crop of money.
Well, I don't know if this is as bad a news, but I got the report from 2017, and I have spoken to Steve about this as well, and it's a fairly extensive inventory, so it's pretty well done, but it is kind of dated at this point, and as we know, roads don't naturally get better, so... They're either going to be the same or they're probably a little bit worse. So, again, being new into this, I don't know your infrastructure. It looks to me, based on the report going through it at the time, in 2017, well, I haven't written that yet, you had just shy of 5 miles of paving that needed to be restored based on this report. I would guess that's probably more now. But, you know, when it comes to paving roads, and I understand you want to use some ARPA money for that, and I think that's a great use for it, but when it comes to paving roads, forgive me if you know this, but if you pave a road that's in bad shape and you don't address all the reasons why it was put in a bad shape to start with, it's just not going to last. According to this report, drainage is not an issue anywhere. All streets say good drainage, and I don't have any reason to doubt that. But failing sewers and water lines and things like that, where they're constantly cutting the road or having leaks, or, you know, that weakens the road. And if you don't replace the lines and you pave, then you're just going to be cutting up new road. So it may sound like common sense, but it's done all the time. So I would think what you would want us to do, and of course I'll take your direction from you, but I would think that you'd want us to do a little bit of our own evaluation before you start spending money on paving. Especially since this is since 2017, it's kind of dated. And we don't have to be as extensive as he went through, because he did a lot of work here and it's already here, but we can do some what we call windshield, you know, surveys, and just take a look for ourselves. See if we concur with the findings here, or if we need to alter that, or what have you, and come back to you with our own suggestions.
So I have a question. So do we have, like, I'm sure the answer is probably no, but I'm going to ask it anyway. Do we have a list of the roads where it's all still terracotta pipes, as opposed to anything that we've already, like, replaced? Right? Because, I mean, that would be another thing where you would start to look to see, all right, like, our breakages are generally here, here, and here, and this is why the street looks the way it does, because we have a ton of water leaks here.
Sometimes that's pretty obvious just by looking at the street, because you see all the utility cuts in it.
Okay.
And then you start asking questions, why is there so many repairs on this road?
Right. Okay.
Yeah, but I think you brought up an excellent point yesterday with the walk when you were talking to Johnny Mouse about having the state pick up their own slack.
I did. So to speak to what Councilman Windsor is saying, I sent an official letter to the Department of Transportation. There are no less than 6 state roads that pass through the town of Federalsburg, and the state paves to the beginning of town limits, they stop, and then they pick up on the other side of the town. They don't go all the way through the town, when there are other towns in our district that they do pave all the way through. So I have sent a letter to the Department of Transportation, and I'm going to pass that Johnny. I told Johnny I would send him the letter, and I'm also going to send that to Senator Eckert to see if they can also move it along. Delegate Mount said he has some contacts over in transportation, so hopefully we'd be able to check off. And I can forward you the list of what we sent, so you could basically, if we could get state funding for those, then we just need to deal with ours, because we would like to have the state do what they're supposed to do.
Are they state highways?
They are.
And they're just not maintained.
That's correct.
That's unusual.
Well, yeah, thank you. Thank you. Yeah. Yeah, it's Route 318, Route 313, Route 315, Route 307, Route 306, and Route 577. And I can send you the email so you know what we sent to the Secretary of Transportation. Because if they would pick up their slack, that takes a good chunk off of our list, right, of what we need to tackle.
You shouldn't have to. You shouldn't have any maintenance responsibility on the state road.
We agree.
There's some anecdotal talk, that at some point in the past, there were trades made.
Okay.
Maintenance of this, if you take over this highway. Who did it? Is it written down? Who knows? But that's...
I'd have to see it writing.
That's...
And so would the attorney listening.
Well, absolutely.
Right. That's what we said. And when the Chief McDermott called the state police, they called the state highway, they were like, oh, well, that's how it normally is. And Chief's like, no. Berlin, Pocomoke, they all, you take care of the roads all the way through.
Oh, yeah.
You need to pick up the slack and take care of Federalsburg roads.
Even sweeping them.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. No, something's not right.
Yeah.
We should look into that.
So I'll forward you a copy of the letter that we've turned in, and then I'll be sending to Delegate Mounts and Senator Eckert, and I'll forward you the copy.
There are agreements and arrangements where, in some cases, the towns will maintain state roads if the state forfeits their highway user revenue. And if that could be what they're talking about, but if you can't find that...
We get our highway user funds.
Then... but you're not getting extra.
We're not getting additional.
We don't get anything extra.
So,
no.
Because they do make those arrangements for snow plowing and things like that. That they'll say, well, we'll give you money if you... So if you don't have that, then there's no reason for them not to be maintaining it.
Agreed. So, okay, I will forward you a copy of that letter. I think it probably is a good idea for GMB to go ahead, just for you guys to take a look.
Yeah, nothing extensive.
Okay.
Just... Because you've done the work, you have the inventory, just some drive-by, evaluations, and spend a little time.
You help us at least build a priority list.
Yeah, yeah.
And maybe like the cost of like, all right, so this one is a complete scrape down. This one is just a top coat.
We
this one
be able
is.
To do that too.
Yeah, I mean that would help us prioritize, and so we can get the most bang for our buck.
Yeah. Wait.
Okay.
Yeah, just give us a little time. But okay.
Anybody else have any other questions?
No.
It's not that bad of news. There's not a proposal.
Right?
Next time we're here.
I think paving the roads is going to be cheaper than the dam. I don't know at the rate we're going.
It could be.
Oh, yeah.
It could be.
All right. Do you have any more good news for us?
No, I don't think so.
You can say the wastewater treatment plant is running excellent.
Well, it is.
Well, there you go. So that's how you end
Leave
your
on a high
that's
note.
How you end your presentation. Go out on the high note.
The numbers are great. Yeah.
We love that.
Yeah.
We love that. Well, thank you for your help up there. We appreciate it.
Sure.
Thanks for help getting it into shape and getting it squared away and helping the staff. Yeah. We
they
appreciate
work
that.
Hard. They work hard. Credit to them.
Thank you.
So I guess Robert's next.
He's just thank you very much, guys.
Right.
We appreciate it.
Thank you.
Okay, next we have the AMI water meter system upgrade discussion, selection of the qualified firm. So do you have questions, Councilman Willoughby?
I don't have questions.
For discussion points?
I have discussion points.
So I did have a question, and I might have missed it, and I see MeterSys is actually on the call, so I had a question about their stuff. And I might have missed it because by the time I was reading through things, it started to get a little blurry. Is there an annual coverage for years 6 through 15, or is it, do we then, where it becomes on call for support?
Good evening. This is Andy Honeycutt with MeterSys. Great question. For our metering as a service accounts, we typically look at the fifth year and negotiate a new service contract based on your needs. One of the things we want to make sure is that you get what you need in terms of contractual support, but nothing more. So that would be the recommended approach, but we can certainly do that however.
So right now, so once we hit year, once we come up to like year after year five or beginning year five, then we would approach you and say, all right, what's happened over the, you would analyze the last 5 years and then say, all right, you look like you can get away with X amount of support right over the next however many years we want to work out a contract.
That's exactly right.
Okay. Great. Thank you.
And with that contract where your documentation talks about 16 hours a month at $150, the negotiated part is both the number of hours and the hourly fee, or the, just the number of hours that we need in our contract?
Yes, everything's on the table after year five. Okay. So if we utilize different resources, if we adjust the time based on your needs and expectations, then those numbers are variable. Yes.
See, what I was trying to do was run a 15-year total cost.
Right.
And so I plugged in 16 a month at 150 times 12 to get a rough annual cost so I could get a 15-year total cost.
Okay. And what was that amount?
15-year total cost with Ferguson is $846,103. With MeterSys is $1,318,851. With Suez is $1,725,525.
And that's assuming that starting after year six, we would need 16 hours per month of service and support with $150.
Yep.
Okay.
I just took their number.
Right. Yeah. We were, because we added up the other one. We added up, what we did is we added up the difference for Ferguson to, like, because by the time you added it all in there, right, you were looking at the larger number, right? By the time we added in the extra support years, right, it went, their price went up.
Ferguson starts charging support at year six.
Correct.
At a rate of 12, 8, 11, 20 a year.
Correct. Right. Okay.
So with MeterSys, I read that the 16 hours for a month for service and support was included in that price, and it was $150 an hour for anything that was out of scope.
Right. And that's what I had a question on that one, too.
Okay.
Because they were the only ones that didn't really talk about, but that's why, if you negotiate it 5 years out, that's why they don't talk about 15 years.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, this is Andy Huntington again. The 16 hours is included in the annual service fees. If there was something unique or in addition to that the city wanted, then our standard bill rate is $150. But that also is negotiable. It depends on what we're doing to how we apply the bill rate. And that certainly can be noted as variable or given you options among our team based on who's utilized that extra work.
The other thing, MeterSys was the only company to give us an updated quote. So I don't really feel like, I can't believe that if they went up as much as they did, that the other two have not gone up at all. So it's really, you're comparing apples and oranges at this point. You don't really know what you're getting to make a commitment.
I went back. I don't know that MeterSys went up all that much.
It went up $200,000.
Yeah, from $657 to $886 and change.
This was the new price one.
Uh-huh.
And then this was what we got previously.
Gotcha.
This price is what came in our packet.
You know what I did the first time? Is I added 224 four times instead of two times because it's listed four times.
Right.
That's what I did.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's what I was like, wait a minute, it was never that cheap. Okay. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So that's, that was our concern, right? There's one up that.
So you know, there's got to be increases elsewhere.
Well, I can speak for Suez. We mm-hmm. didn't go up at all.
Okay.
Our numbers are locked in. We have national accounts.
Good. That's good
I
to know.
Confirm that with Black Friday.
Okay. Definitely makes you guys more competitive now.
Yeah, Councilwoman, all three of the firms received the same email.
Right, I know.
Yes.
I saw that.
We saw the one response.
We only got the one response, right. Correct.
I got the one response. I only got two responses.
Yeah. Now,
because
yeah.
Rob contacted me and we talked about the price that you see as the firm price of the contract. What would be the contract?
Right, so do you guys have any other questions? I feel like I wish Scott would have been here because I feel like he had a lot of questions he would have liked to have asked.
So just to confirm my numbers on a 15-year life, Suez is 1.033875 initial installation with a yearly maintenance of 46,110.
That's what I have.
That's years 1 through 15. That's how I get a grand total of 1.725 for the 15-year thing.
And I would just want to remind everyone that 15 years also negotiable, which was one of the things that we all worked out with the firms. If the town's able to take over full maintenance of the asset after X number of years, then having an on-call relationship with whichever of the contractors selected is smart. But it may not need to be the full maintenance program.
And the way our contracts are written, just for your information, it's a one-year contract. It's annually renewed.
We're doing it. Okay.
So you could cancel it year two if you wanted to. But we've given you the 15-year look because that was what the requirement was.
Mm-hmm. Annually renewable at that same cost or with yep. a COLA or with a price?
No, yep, absolutely. Our costs are locked in, whatever it was in the contract.
So 46,110 for 15 years.
So when you get to the end of year two, you say, look, we're great, we can do this, we don't need you guys anymore. Or say, good luck, here's our number. If you want us to help you, we will, but obviously we'd have to renegotiate that. If you get to the end of year two, you don't do anything, we automatically renew it. That's kind of the way it works. At the end of 15 years, if the contract ends, and then we will likely have to do this all over again. Mm-hmm. Although, not completely, the infrastructure will be in place, you have to rebuy meters and things like that.
So did you guys get that same number on the 1.7 for the life of the contract when you costed it out? What numbers did you guys get?
We got...
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't think I have that on this.
No, because we didn't. So because for a meter system, we only had the 886, 851,
right.
55, and then everything is after the from 6 through 15...
Right.
You could assume
that
you could do the
right.
16 hours,
right.
But like they were saying, if you weren't using 16 hours of service, then you could say, all right, we're going to pay an annual contract for 5 hours a month
right.
for support if we need it, or...
Although the 16 hours still puts them as the middle bid.
Right.
I have to say, I'm really disappointed that Ferguson didn't even reply to Larry's email for an updated quote. I mean, nobody's here. I mean, they fell
online.
Off the face.
Yes. Huh?
Bob Johnson.
Oh,
okay.
Is he there? Okay.
Yes, he's on the meeting.
Mayor Abner, this is Patrick Devin Ferguson as well. Our pricing held. That was our final bid.
Okay.
And I believe Bob Johns had responded.
Bob left me a voicemail.
Okay.
Okay.
And so with Ferguson, it's the initial, just to make sure my numbers are straight, the initial is $717,991. That includes us up to year five,
correct.
And then starting year six, a annual of 12, 8, 11, 20, for a total 15-year price of $846,103.
Correct.
Right.
So it's $846 plus the $717.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
No.
That's
including the $717.
Including it.
Oh, right. Okay.
Yeah.
That's the total cost over 15 years is $846,000.
Because it was like $120,000.
Right. Yes, it was $128,000.
For the maintenance.
Dollars, right, for the
yeah.
maintenance. Right.
That's correct.
Which gave us the 146, right? Okay, do you guys have any other questions?
I mean, I don't know if you guys talked about this at all 2 weeks ago.
We did not discuss
no.
it 2 weeks
okay.
ago, so I don't
you
know
did
where
not miss
Councilman
anything.
Phillips was on the thought or the process, yeah. Right?
As I look at the numbers, you've got the difference between Ferguson's 15-year and Suez's 15-year is almost $80,000 over 15 years. It's more than double. The difference is the method of communication. And that's where I think we have to make a decision as to what method of communication we're going to insist on. I've done my research. I know where I stand. Internet of Things is here to stay. The 2014 splitting of M2M and international protocols that say that they now understand that the Internet of Things is here to stay and will be written into minimum requirements as there's subsequent Gs, which is not what had happened with 3G, 3G, which is why anybody that had it something before 2014 did have a world of trouble because it wasn't written in. It seems to now they're nailed. It seems to be international protocols. We're not transmitting acts of Congress across these lines. We're transmitting water bills. And I know you can look to expansion. I don't see us in the reasonable future expanding to be a town utility that supplies natural gas to everyone's home, or a town utility that supplies electricity to everyone's home. I see us as a water utility and sewer utility for the reasonable future. And with that, I don't know that we need a proprietary RF network to transmit one piece of data, one type of data. That really is what the difference in price is. It's how that data gets to us.
Well, MeterSys is also RF.
Are they RF?
Yeah. Ferguson is
similar. MeterSys and Suez, right, are the RF. Yes. Ferguson
right.
is the...
Right.
Can I make a comment on that? That's part of it. But the big difference is the services that we provide. That's the huge difference in cost.
I understand.
Over 15 years.
And I've read that.
Okay. I just want to make sure that that's not being under consideration.
I've read that. Okay. I've read that. And I understand service, and I understand it. I feel like I understand it.
Well, I wanted to get up to Greensboro and talk to them folks, but I never got a chance. But I'm not sure who they had their contract through.
Greensboro?
Yeah.
Suez?
Suez.
Yeah.
Okay.
And they've had it for about 7 years.
Yeah.
Ridgely uses a Neptune and code in Maine system, which is what MeterSys also uses. And they like their system as well.
Yeah. Well, it'd be curious to know why they decided to go with Suez rather than Ferguson, if there was a monetary difference. There had to be a reason.
I can tell you the reason why Greensboro is a customer of ours is because they were somewhere in Phillipsburg, they were shorthanded and didn't have enough people to do their meter reading originally. They were also a asset management customer of ours on their tanks. So there was a relationship that we had that we were a proven commodity with them. Beyond that, they have had a great experience with us for the past 6 or 7 years. They didn't cancel after 5 years. They were very happy with the service. So, you know, it's an ongoing relationship we have with those people. They've had a lot of turnover over there. We've been through three town managers since I've been there, only 3 years. They have a brand new public works director who is now getting up to speed on our program. And that's the kind of thing where having someone like us as a partner is very important, because when people change and things happen, we're kind of in the background taking care of everything, and then we're able to train people and do all those things. That's the ongoing service that we provide. That's really the big piece of the puzzle. It's not that we provide one type of communication or one meter. They all work great. What we provide is a service that's ongoing with the customer, and we've been very successful, and all of our customers are happy. So that's the reason why Greensboro is with us, and they have been for 20 years.
I think that's great, but I was thinking about in the beginning, if they were looking at cost savings, they could have went with Ferguson.
Maybe Ferguson didn't bid it.
I mean, that's possible.
I mean, that's what I'm saying. Yeah. I mean, I'm looking at where we are. I'm looking at writing a check over the next 15 years. I mean, Scott just talked to us about a dam.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's been going on for more than 15 years. And I'm looking at three proposals, one of which is double the first. And if we were going to expand what utilities we use this with and this, that, but we are a water customer, water sewer. That's what we are. And I have a hard time substantiating spending twice the money on that. And going out and explaining to taxpayers in a sewer budget that we saw a couple weeks ago that the actual cost of providing sewer service to our residents and the debt service are almost equal numbers. I can't substantiate spending money on a Cadillac that we're not providing. We're reading water meters and sewer meters, and that is important. And it's important that it be done correctly. And I think we all agree on that. I think we could all sit here and tell stories of times that we looked at our bill and went, and you know, this, that, and the other. I think there's plenty of folks that are out in the town that and so this is important. And it's potentially a revenue generator. That's what all three companies have talked about. I'm on board for that.
My concern is when we put these new meters in and stuff starts reading correctly.
But they're going to have
that. I'm afraid about the phone calls.
But you're going to have that with all three of them.
Oh, yes. No, no. I know. I understand that. But there's definitely going to need to be a campaign that says, your meters are old. The reason we are replacing them is because chances are they don't read correctly. So don't get sticker shock when you see your bill because it's now recording accurately and reporting accurately as opposed to, it's between here and there, and you know that's what we're going with. So
my meter always seemed to catch up. I'd get that 1,000 gallons, and a quarter later, I'd get 21,000 gallons. Like it always seemed to catch up. But for the people that have been paying it the other way, I guess sticker shock is there. I mean, I feel like all three could satisfy the need that we are looking for. And what I have been searching for since we got these on the 1st of April, I believe, when we got these cost proposals, is why not go with the lowest bid? And as of yet, I don't have anything that helps me substantiate to citizens why we didn't.
I think you absolutely have some good points.
Okay, so we have options, obviously.
That's been the issue.
That's the problem. We have options. Larry, did you happen to talk to anybody from Fruitland or Galena?
Galena a while back.
Okay.
And my understanding of Galena's situation is they're small, so they're not having...
They're very small.
They're not having the same number of firms interested in them.
Right.
Have not caught up with Fruitland, caught up with some others, and again, it's mostly about the 3G, 5G conversion,
right.
where along the way there were issues, there were problems. But no, I've not talked to Fruitland. And I don't know that Galena is exactly the best analog for us anyway. I guess some other communities are. But all the respect to
We know the mayor, so I was like,
not the best litmus test for Columbia either, so it's okay. Yes. It was both ways.
We did. They were too small for us.
Yeah, they're about 240.
Yeah, under 500, we're not very. We're not a good fit.
Yeah. And that doesn't look like us anyway.
Yeah. No, they're
small.
Very, very small, but. I mean, I know the issue that Ridgely was having, but you spoke to them, and we know what their issue was. So, and do we know who did Ridgely? I mean, I know what meters were put in and what the main one was. We know who they're...
Yeah, that was a Neptune meter.
Yeah, and the core and main.
Yeah, but yeah. What company did they...
Who facilitated that installation, do you know?
Well, it was core main.
Yeah, okay.
And my understanding is the radio frequency was incorrect.
Right.
It was wired for 450 and they were on 900 or vice versa. And again, in the procurement, I mean, I can't speak to how that happened. You know, but I mean, that was from the outset that the transmitter did not match up with the receiver, correct? The backbone.
That's what it sounds like to me.
Yeah.
Yeah, and they were coming out to replace what was on their water tower for their receiving the information.
Well, and that just goes to wherever we go, we need to have a good contract in place.
Mm-hmm. Yes, because when we talked originally, they said that they had been out multiple times, and they finally narrowed down what the problem was, and they were coming out to replace everything. They didn't have to pay for anything. They were coming out to replace it because the wrong stuff
was
put in.
Because if something goes wrong, we can't read meters. That's lost revenue.
Right. Of course, people would be happy they don't. Their bill, but when it catches up,
yeah, we got two bills,
right?
That will never be an issue
for sure. Okay, I mean, I didn't want to text Councilman Phillips and ask, he'd be like, hey, what were your thoughts on the process since he had something going on? So, are you guys comfortable making a decision? Do we need to have further discussion?
I think I'm okay moving forward.
Councilman Winter?
I'm has reservations without Councilman Phillips being here. I'd love to hear his input. But, I mean, if that's not possible, yes, I'm okay with moving forward.
I mean, I don't know which way he was leaning. I know when we had discussions, he was listening to both sides and had thoughts on both. But I kind of hate to make a decision without. I mean, this is something major that we're spending money on. So
a lot of money. Lot of money.
Yeah, I kind of feel like we need his input.
We can...
table it for...
For the next... I mean, our next meeting, if you want. And
yeah,
but that would be a hard...
2 weeks.
A hard deadline for us.
We'd have to do it
because
then.
We have to get this on.
But, yeah. I mean, I don't know. I feel like... I mean, we're spending a lot of money, and I feel like he has some worthy input to put in.
It helps, I could also get the spec from the bidders on what the read rate is on the meters proposed, because it's all discussion about cost, which is fair. There's no data on revenue capture, because if we're losing, according to the water plan, roughly 20% on meters, 20.9%, if we reduce that even by 10%, 12%, obviously there's the offsetting revenue increase side, because right now we're only looking at what the cost is over time. Well, the revenue is going to be better over time as well. So the impact is a bit, it's not just a transactional cost of tonight.
Right.
It's the improved metering is going to do what for us. It's going to reduce staff time, which we haven't put a price on. It's going to increase revenue, and that's regardless of what firm is.
Correct.
Those are all the benefits. It's going to reduce staff time
mm-hmm.
down the hall.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Because whether it's an app or whether it's the web portal, people will be able to check their own water usage. It becomes incumbent upon them if they're losing 1,000 gallons a day when they don't typically call here or respond to whatever mechanism we use to set up to contact them to say, you realize you're using 1,200 gallons a meter, 1,200 gallons of water a day. You might want to check a hung-up toilet or a leak or something. So the whole sort of relationship to the process is going to change, whether that's staff time, whether that's increased revenue or whether that's what the residents are going to be able to manage on their own. So there's transactional cost and then there's operational revenues that aren't necessarily spelled out. We didn't ask for that. We asked for cost proposal. Now, I can come back with what a ballpark balance would be. I mean, just on the industrial meters, you just think of what we would meter better on our industrial meters. There's a revenue, you know, there's revenue to offset a cost, whatever that annual cost is.
Right. Okay. So
because the discussion is the town is spending X, but also the town is either saving on staff time, Y, and recouping Z, and more water revenues. And
right.
Better written meters.
Okay. So I think we'll table it for Councilman Phillips to be able to participate if we get the extra information. I think breaking out, if we have your, you know, with the sheets where we pulled the numbers, broke it out over the years, how things could change, how things would lay out, and then that breakout, I think that would be helpful, just making sure we're all on the same page and get Councilman Phillips take on it as well.
Right, and I'll just, like I did for the budget, I'm assuming a 1% growth.
Yes, now, I think that's fine.
There are potential developments on the horizon. They're not happening right now.
Right.
So the year that the decision has to be made, these are the conditions. If we have a substantial water user or two or three added, obviously there's going to be more revenue to offset whatever expenditure might be. Because you can calculate the expenditures right now. It's harder to calculate the revenues.
Right. So we're going to table this to June 6th?
Yes. So can I get a motion to table the selection of the qualified firm for the water meter replacement upgrade to June 6th?
I make a motion that we table our selection for the AMI water meter system upgrade to our June 6th meeting.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. All those opposed? Okay, motion passes. Thank you, everybody, for all the information. We really appreciate it. It was very helpful.
And we hope you understand that with one of our members gone, this is a huge expenditure, and we want to make sure we are all
on the same page with signing that check. So,
thanks.
They had a family emergency, so we appreciate your understanding. Okay, next we have the town auction bid surplus vehicles and equipment. Town Manager DeRay.
Madam Mayor, members of the council, recently we spoke about some of the surplus vehicles and equipment and the ability to not only clear our lot and buildings of various stuff, but also to look at this as a way to, you know, get some non-tax revenue. The draft budget for this fiscal year shows a revenue line of $30,000 for sale of equipment. So before we go to the either bid or auction route, as has been mentioned in past meetings, we need to know what we've got, what we want to get rid of, and what kind of condition it might be in. So the request here is to provide direction to the town, to the staff, to go out and inventory our stuff, do the best we can to put a value on it, and to bring that forward. It's no rush. After July 1, in some capacity, either as an auction or as a bid process.
I'm good with that. I think we definitely need to do that. We might as well just get it off of our insurance, get it out of our hair. We're not using it. We're not, no reason to pay insurance or maintenance on it.
Exactly.
As well, get whatever we can out of it.
No, and I think that's a great idea. My only thing is the auction the way to go? I went to an auction up in Denton, and they had these two farm tractors that were in the 50s, that were built in the 50s. They went for like $100 each. You know, it's whatever the bid is versus scrap metal.
Is this where the town of Denton did this?
No.
Oh, just,
no,
okay.
It was a private state. Yeah, I mean, you know, scrap metal is... if you make more, you know.
Well, auction, right. I mean, typically auction, somebody walks away with the stuff.
Yeah.
If you put it out for bid, there's always the line about the town has the right to, you know,
yeah,
decline all the bids and go and sell it to somebody else or bring it to the scrapyard ourselves. So we'll probably likely to get a few more bucks by going through a regular bid process.
And what Ridgely did, when they did their picture auction, and it wasn't a live auction, they just put all their stuff out on social media and said, we have stuff, buy it. But they put under each thing, minimum bid is this much money.
That's what I was going to say. You can have a reserve, a starting bid or whatever. And I think that could be the way to go.
I know we had talked about this a couple of weeks ago. I think we're having a conversation about two or three trash trucks. And we weren't real sure what we had. Did Steve get you any of that? Or is that part of this?
That's part of this. Okay. And I think we're all aware that we have a functioning trash truck. At least for tomorrow, I hope.
Better knock on some wood.
Trash truck that may be valuable as a chassis. And then
there's a really old one, too, up there.
Okay, so there was a third one.
I've seen
it. Well, if it would start, could we convert it to a leaf sucker? Because I really want a leaf sucker.
It won't start.
Don't say that before the auction.
That's as
it is. We need to call high quality stuff.
I whisper.
But again,
she's not allowed to write the descriptions for the products.
She knows where all the bodies are buried.
I think it's a good practice, and it's a good practice, I think, to have an inventory. Anyway.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we should know what we have to begin with, regardless of this process. So. Mm-hmm.
And I'm honestly, I think we can also include, like, extra surplus furniture, extra surplus filing cabinets.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And literally, there are companies or people starting a company that are like, hey, we could use a filing cabinet, and they can get one for $20 or whatever. Right, it gets it out of our hair, and we don't need it, and we're not filling it.
And that would be the time to do it, because we already are in selling mode, however we do that.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
It'll be easy to just add it on.
Because we talked about using, like, if we're going to turn that into, like, a conference room, then there's plenty of stuff that we could get out of there and just get three conference tables and, you know, some easy chairs.
Are those filing cabinets filled with files?
Most of them.
On this
but
wall.
It's stuff that can probably be boxed
and
up.
Shredded or...
Or shredded or something.
Yeah, I remember a while back having a conversation with Chief Nagel, and there was like, I think he said 100 bicycles up there.
I think they've unloaded all that.
Yeah, okay.
Oh, up at the town shed? Yeah, I think so.
Okay.
At least I didn't see him when the last time I've been up there. I haven't seen any of that.
Two the last time.
Okay.
Yeah.
He was up there with you.
Yeah. Okay. Yep.
Yep.
So, do you need a motion to?
No.
Okay. So, so start the list, and then we'll go from there as far as the eBay. So,
I will encourage the departments to make it a priority, but realistically, for the sake of revenue, we'll just book it after July 1.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yep, that's good.
It'll be here before we know it. That's true.
I know it's true. All right, next we have a discussion of the draft fiscal year 2022-2023 budget. Town Manager DeRay.
Yeah, Madam Mayor, members of Council, not a lot's changed since the last budget draft. Obviously, this budget has got the line items for the capital projects as we know them, whereas the last time it was, those were all blank. The number of the capital projects is the second full paragraph on page one of that staff report. We know for certain that we've got $100,000 to spend before expiration date, October of next year, for the 115 and 17 North Main Street building, the old Denton Road water main project. Now that the bonding information, the pay and performance bonding information from the contractor is available, we're just waiting on the pre-construction meeting. Now we're at the 16th of May. MDE is going to require 8 to 10 day notice before that meeting is set. So we're practically speaking into June anyway. I don't think this is going to be a current fiscal year expenditure. If it is, it's going to be relatively minor. This is a fiscal year expenditure really for next year. So that's why the whole of this budget, the whole of that project is booked in this budget. If it needs to be amended, we will. But if it becomes a matter of, can you start on the 28th of June or can you start on July 2nd, we can some unknown projects. The you know, one's relatively small, the connected communities to begin the broadband fiber network. We're still waiting on information on that. That was that caps at $250,000 and requires no town match. We've had the firms come in and get their give a presentation, so we know what $800,000+ buys. $240,000 doesn't buy that much, but at least it's a start, and it does connect the industrial park. So there's that. But we're waiting on either or waiting on pending the application of that grant is pending. Same with the $2.4 million for the sanitary sewer pump station upgrades. Again, middle of May, we need to adopt the budget and get everything done, certainly before June 30th. So if we hear, we can amend it. If we don't hear, then once the budget's adopted and we hear at a later point, we'll amend the budget at that point in time for those two projects. Some street improvements are budgeted under an ARPA expenditure for $800,000. We just talked to our engineer about where we are with that. There's nothing on the dam in this fiscal year, and that may very well wind up need to be its own discussion, because if that comes in at a at least as our engineer sort of
alluded to.
Engineers are very precise people, so I want to see his proposal first. But we can't cash flow too many big projects in any one year.
Right.
And Old Denton Road is going to be cash flowed. Broadband would be cash flowed. The 151-17 would be cash flowed. Pump stations would be cash flowed. We're cash flowing about, you know, almost $4 million worth of projects. ARPA at least is pay-as-you-go because we've got the money in the bank, half of it now and half of it at the end of July, the other half at the end of July. So we can do water meters out of pocket. We can do some street improvements out of pocket. But this other list of capital projects is all going to need to be cash flowed appropriately. So pending, the expertise of our engineer, I would just say, if the dam can wait a year, it's going to need to wait a year. If not, there's the infrastructure bill money out there. Right now, there's a good amount of federal money, and that's not going to last forever. So we might want to look at the federal money as an opportunity to do more street paving, or do the dam project if you think. Otherwise, the operational lines really haven't changed. I think I upped the maintenance on the water and sewer a little bit. I know I upped our engineering a little bit, and that's about it. As far as the operations are concerned, nothing really affecting personnel. Because nothing's changed on personnel. Oh, I did move the solar credit revenue down to the water side, or wastewater side.
Yes, that's all good. Pay a lot out for that flush tax.
Mm-hmm.
But I want to remind everyone, right now the three funds are all running a modest surplus.
Shit. Should we all be
knocking? I know, right? Uh-huh. Everybody knock on some wood.
Don't say that too well.
Okay.
Well, again, if we had, if there was actual growth on the water and sewer user side, and I'm showing it pretty much flat, We don't grow our water and sewer users. We just don't. We don't have that kind of development going on currently. So those revenues, which, you know, they're flat. They're going to be flat until we have more users.
Hopefully we'll have 48 more.
Mm-hmm.
More than that.
The Riverwalk is coming before planning and zoning to put 48 townhouses in up on that property. Which would be people paying into the water and sewer fund.
No, it wouldn't be. I just didn't know that was happening.
they're planning to come before planning and zoning.
Gotcha.
So that's the plan.
Cool.
For them to come to planning and zoning. For that to move forward.
You also notice, excuse me, Madam Mayor, the backhoe and excavation attachments line now, again, it's harbor expenditure, comes to 80,000, whereas the backhoe and full mini excavator was previously presented at 140,000. So there's 60,000 back to the ARPA.
Nice.
Back
sounds
to the ARPA.
Like I saw that you moved that down to there. So, okay, does anybody have any questions on the draft budget?
No.
For town manager Nuri?
No.
All right, so next we have the introduction of ordinance number 2022-2, an ordinance of the Mayor and Council of Fiddlesburg adopting a general budget and enterprise budget for the fiscal year beginning July 1st, 2022 and ending June 30th, 2023, and establishing a tax rate of 88 cents per $100 of assessed real property value and a tax rate of $1.65 per $100 on all commercial or business personal property and all railroad and utility property, establishing and adopting the same service and administrative fee for semi-annual billings as adopted by Caroline County, establishing a quarterly waste collection fee in the amount of $40.65 per quarter for commercial properties which receive waste collection services and for all residential properties located within the corporate town boundaries, and establishing a $6 per item charge for extra waste collection items. Huh? I know. So can I have a motion to...
I have one quick question.
Yes.
I thought at a previous meeting we had talked about how that $6 per item really does not cover our costs.
Is now the time to off that?
I mean...
Yeah. I mean, I think that's a steal, right? So I'm not opposed to upping it. We can make an amended... There can be an amended motion for that instruction of that ordinance. Right, Lindsay?
Make a motion.
So you would make a motion to introduce the ordinance as amended.
Okay.
With whatever default rate. And then it will be amended prior to posting for the public hearing.
Okay.
I mean, I just felt like now would be, I mean, to
do
it
now, should be self sufficient.
Right. So
yeah.
What's a reasonable rate?
See, I think the reasonable rate is the, in a way, this is, I don't generally like as you throw, because that makes the garbage man an accountant. But this is every item, whether someone's thrown out a refrigerator or a little wooden stool
right.
that they don't want to put in the trash can, it's $6 or $10. Either one, there should be a cost on it that we don't lose money. But is it ever going to be equitable? It's not.
Right. No,
it's just not going to be. It's not going to be a user pays type thing. It's
sure.
just going to be flat.
Because
and we live with that.
They pay by weight when they bring it up to the landfill, correct?
Correct.
So
is it unreasonable to say if you're disposing of something that is in the appliance or a large category that it's X dollars and other stuff is less than that? I mean, is that just you don't want to deal with that accounting? Is that...
We can deal
I mean,
with
they
it.
Get a sticker, right?
Right.
Or they get a
well,
tag.
Yeah.
We ask what the items are when they come to pick up a ticket.
Right.
We ask them, what is it?
Right.
You know, if it's 10 pieces, I have always taught the girls, well, would they do, the new girls, you know, write on the back of the ticket. I don't care if you write one ticket and 10 pieces, but on the back, flip it over so we know it's a refrigerator, it's a chair, it's a sofa, it's this, it's this, it's this.
Right.
So, and you would pay per item. So if I have 10 items, I'm paying you $60 to haul off my stuff.
But we just always kept track of the items because sometimes people would want to sneak stuff in.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure.
Right, but if you were taking a refrigerator to the dump, what's it pay to take a refrigerator to the dump? Right, well, then you're getting money back at the scrub yard. Right.
Do you sell that many tickets? Because when riding around, I see leaves, limbs.
Well, that's free.
Charge for that stuff.
Yeah, right.
Which I would not be offended if you charged a flat rate for that. Because Larry might put out 2 bags of leaves, and Debbie might put out 30
bags of leaves.
I
can't remember ever seeing
the Willoughbys. You were waiting for it.
It's the second time.
Hey, I probably have stuff sitting out in front of my house right now to pick up tomorrow. So.
Right, there's no fee at all for leaves and limbs and things of that nature. I think it may not necessarily be something that needs to continue to be free, even if you don't charge $10 or if you put 10 bags or 20 bags. But I feel like we should charge for it.
I also think a couple of meetings ago you made a comment that there are times with the leaves, limbs, quote, grass clippings, they do haul that to the landfill.
They do.
And they shouldn't. I mean, they really shouldn't when you think about it.
Well, at one point a few years ago, they were taking it over into the wooded section of Chambers Park, and they were dumping it out there, the leaves and stuff.
Right.
They mulch what they can. They chip some stuff. But they were just putting it out there. But then somebody complained, I don't know who, but they didn't like it being dumped out there. So they quit doing it, and they just didn't have a place to dump it.
Right.
So for a while, they started piling it up, and they got a great big huge pile, they would burn it. But I don't know why we haven't continued to do that.
I would say just burn it. I mean, it's all combustible.
Right.
Why pay a fee?
I would agree with that.
To dump something that we can take care of.
Yeah, and I honestly think there's a pile of whirlwind up there.
There's a fairly large pile of sticks, and there is a very large pile of leaves, because when we use the leaf sucker at Chambers Park, it gets dumped into that pile up at the town shed. And
still have some expense involved, though, because you've got the separate truck going around picking it up, and they have to handle that.
Absolutely, and I have said since I moved into town, I think it is the best service the town offers, because it encourages people to clean up their yard.
And because, on that note, I would be more inclined to raise the cost of the dump items and to allow people to... I mean, there are some communities that only do that like once or twice a year, and, you know, and we have it available monthly.
I haven't looked lately to see what kind of tickets, the number of tickets we were selling. A couple years ago, we probably sold, I don't know, a couple hundred tickets a year. It wouldn't generate a lot of revenue, but it wasn't enough to cover what we, you know, our expenses.
Well, especially with gasoline prices. I mean, they've got to go all the way up to Ridgely. I mean, that's honestly, that's why I would want the town to pick it up. I don't have the time or, you know, the inclination to run up there.
Don't have the means to take it.
Well, yeah, that's too. I don't have a truck.
And maybe on the leaf and the stick pile, and certainly maybe the leaves, I mean, that's good for composting. Maybe if there's a composter that's local within the area that has that kind of business where they're looking for supplemental waste to make their compost, maybe they might, we don't need to sell it, but they could take it off our hands. Right? So,
if you had to do some tree clearance at Chambers Park, I think you have a compost area.
Up there.
Yeah, I mean, you think around the log cabin, between the log cabin and swooping over to the pavilion. It's all it is trees.
Right.
Yeah.
And you know, the log cabin, one of the reasons the log cabin roof got the way it was because it never dried out, never got any daylight.
Well, the first time we raked leaves up there, the first time we did the Comcast Cares Day cleanup, it was probably 50, would you say you did that as an Eagle Scout project?
1998.
Okay, so that might have been the last time those leaves were raked up there. I mean, literally, it was feet that we sucked up.
Did it twice.
And we had to do it. We had to have Ridgely come. I mean, Denton came back twice with their leaf truck that year because it was so many leaves.
I'll tell you that. I did it twice because I did it, and I raked it in the piles, and Public Works was going to come take all the piles out. And I needed to get after photos. And they never came, and they never came, and they never came, and they never came. So I did the project again.
I'm sure all those leaves were just all back where they were.
Exactly.
Yeah, because it's windy out.
So I did my project twice, but it was okay. But
you're an overachiever.
Well, he just wanted to pass. He wanted to get his project done. You could have photoshopped those puzzle leaves up.
Not in 1998. Okay, talking 16-bit.
Okay, so do we want to change the $6 to 10? Is 10 too much?
So
I think 10 is a reasonable amount,
yeah,
even though it's almost doubling it. But like, if we go much more than that, people really
will... Well, I think 10 is fine. And when somebody complains, you say, look, the cost of dumping it has gone up. The cost of gas has gone up to dump it at the dump. And you could say, if you don't like it, then you can take yourself to the dump.
Well, yeah, they have other options.
Right. I mean, they don't have to use our service to take it to the dump.
$10 to make a TV or a freezer. I'm sorry. We had our freezer went up a year and a half ago. I can't remember when it was.
Yeah.
And to just know...
That you don't have to.
That I could pay $6, take the lid off, and set it out there, and I could be done with it. Like, it was enough to have to clean the mess.
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
Like, you know, so if you told me $10 to get rid of a freezer or a refrigerator or something,
yeah,
I think that's reasonable.
But even, you know, I mean, an old chair or something. I mean, something that you just, you know, don't want to fool with, you know.
A sofa. Mm-hmm. Make a sofa disappear.
Okay, so do we want to do $10 for flat rate and not worry about appliances versus smaller stuff? It's just $10 flat rate per item?
Yep.
Are you thinking, Larry, or do you have a...
No, again, we're never going to really count on
no.
Right.
But it'll help.
Anything that defers loss, I'll take.
Right.
So I'll make a motion.
Should I send that to you?
To introduce... Ordinance 2022-2.
He's Christmas shopping. Okay. Sorry.
But to strike the $6 per item charge and insert $10 per item charge.
I'll second that.
Okay, so are we voting on the amendment and then we vote on the ordinance?
Well, I just introduced it as amended.
Okay.
That's kind of what Lindsay said.
Okay.
Just one.
Okay, perfect. Okay, so the motion on the floor is what I read, but with $10 instead of $6. All those in favor?
Aye.
All those opposed? Okay, motion passes. And who seconded that? So they
I did.
See? Okay.
Debbie.
Perfect, thank you. They have that.
So I guess the next question is, do you want to have a public hearing on this on the 6th? That's when you're having the public hearing on constant yield. Or do you want to wait until the second June meeting? And there should be enough time between now and the 6th to get it in the paper.
I think we should just do it.
Let's just do it all once.
Yep, let's just get it over with on June 6th.
Okay.
So do you need a motion to introduce that for the public hearing? To schedule a public hearing?
Yeah, a motion to schedule a public hearing for June 6th.
I move to schedule a public hearing on Ordinance 2022-2 on June 6th.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. All those opposed? Motion passes. Okay, thank you. Okay, next we have June and July mayor and council meeting schedules, conflict with observation of Juneteenth and Independence Day. So,
so the work session in June would be on the 20th, but that's Juneteenth observed.
Correct, which is a federal holiday.
So do we move it to the 21st?
That's my thought. We just do it that Tuesday?
That's typically what we've done in the past. And then 2 weeks later is the 4th of July holiday. So,
yeah, I'll be out of town that week. But it doesn't matter to me. You guys do an excellent job.
Thanks, Councilman Windsor.
You know, the other option would be to potentially cancel the June 5th meeting and just have one meeting.
July
5th, right, and have one meeting in July.
Do we foresee?
Did we do that last year?
We did that
last year. We only had the one meeting in July because of the way that it fell.
We definitely had it last year at one point.
But I thought we only had one in July because of the way the holiday fell.
But
people weren't.
Oh,
that's June.
That's
this year, and it's early this year.
Yeah.
MML is.
Okay.
Yeah, and it falls.
Yes, thankfully it fell the weekend in between this year.
I'm good with that. I mean, is everybody here on the 19th?
Of July?
I'm sorry. Not on the 19th.
18th of July?
I'm still going on Tuesdays. I'm sorry. On the
18th.
We had one July meeting last year?
On the 19th, yeah.
Yeah, because we had passed the budget and...
That's what I'm thinking. I mean, all the big stuff's going to be...
Yeah.
Right.
Just take a breath. It also gives time to get that inventory done. If we're going to try to do that in July.
Yeah, so I think so we can just have... So we'll do the June meeting on June 21st. And then we'll do the... We'll just have our one business meeting is July 18th. Right? Okay.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so can I get a motion to adjust our meeting schedule for that?
I make a motion that we adjust our meeting schedule to... Sorry, I'm trying to edit my phone at the same time. To meet on June 21st and cancel the first meeting in July and meet on July 18th. That's a bad motion, but I think I got it covered.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. All those opposed? Okay, motion passes.
We knew what you
wanted. Okay. All right, very good. Next we have mayor and council action items. Councilman Windsor?
Nothing. Thank you.
Councilman Sewell?
I have a couple of things.
Ed's shopping for leaf blowers.
He is. I know. He's showing me all these pictures.
It's not as big as that.
We're not as big as that.
Right. Okay.
I have heard, apparently people are parking down at the marina after hours in the dark, and I don't know what they're doing. I have not witnessed this, but... They're playing music and just sort of gathering down there at the marina. And the music is so loud that you can hear it on the other side of the Marshy Hope. And it's an ongoing problem. So I said that I would bring that up here.
So somebody texted me and asked me if there was a party at the marina. And I'm assuming that must have been the same thing.
Maybe.
Because I said the marina closes at dusk.
Yeah.
So we need to just make sure that...
At least somebody's riding up through
there. The weather's
trying
to get warmer, that the... FPD picks up a little bit of patrol down there to make sure.
Yeah, my understanding this is more than just the one time, and this family went actually and drove over there to see what was going on, and that's what they witnessed. It was just a bunch of cars with the windows down and people hanging out talking.
Okay.
So that needs to be addressed. Also, following up on the moving of the recycling bins, that looks really good. They did move them, but they left the glass containers in the old spot. And I know the book recycling is not them, but anyway, but it does look good, and it looks really nice and neat.
Do we know if they're going to move the glass one? Because I was wondering
there's
that when I took recycling the other day.
I thought if nothing else, if they, because they're kind of wonky, where they're, if they at least would sort of line them up a little bit nicer, and I know that it's the truck and the whole bit, but if it looked like they belonged there instead of got left there, maybe it would look better, but it should... That should help with that whole trash situation with the church and
everything.
Well,
and I like, too, that it's on the pavement, so
mm-hmm.
it would be easier for us to sweep up and clean up. It's
yes.
a lot. It's really hard to get that stuff out of the grass.
Yeah.
So, and it's probably the same. Yeah. It's much cleaner down there, and I appreciate the church taking over that grass and making sure that it looks
mm-hmm.
good.
They're really good about that, I think.
It was very convenient to use.
Yes.
Yes.
If you want to add that to my overuse of town service.
Wait, you took it there yourself, is that right?
I also recycle cardboard.
I do too.
I do too. I recycle everything. So I only put out one bag of trash a week.
I know I left a message for you, Christy, when you were gone about the Lions Club sandwich sale, and I did see that the sign out on the highway has been changed. I'm not sure if this one has.
I changed it today.
Today? Okay. Yeah. Thank you. Because when I went by...
Steve about changing the other one.
Yeah, that one was done. So thank you for that. And
yes.
We are having our next sandwich sale on Friday, if you're interested. And then Mayor Abner and I attended the CAM meeting last Wednesday. It was very well attended. It was up in Hillsboro. And it was a good evening. And we really got to chit-chat with a lot of the towns. But one of the ideas, there were a bunch of ideas that were sort of bounced around. is having one meeting quarterly that we sort of just sanctify for one topic of interest to the community, whether it's public safety or roads or community involvement or whatever. And it's sort of a less formal meeting, and we can sort of like a, where we can discuss casually with the community what their concerns are. And I thought that that was something that had some merit, and that was maybe something that we could incorporate in what we do. And like I said, quarterly was what was suggested, but we could do it, even if we do it twice a year or something, you know, like a, anyway, just sort of mentioning that, putting that out there.
Yeah, the one town that's doing that, they said it was received fairly well, and that was kind of like the discussion we had at our planning strategic planning meeting, was to have, you know, maybe one up in Brooklyn, and maybe that's one of the special that we just have a meeting up there, and that's the meeting that we have to get some attendance from extra places throughout town. So we thought that was a nice idea, and that's something we could parlay into what you had suggested with doing that to help make it all inclusive. So
right. That's all I have.
Thank you. Councilman Willoughby?
So I will just say, I think that's an awesome idea. I could not make that meeting. But I do think a couple times a year, at least, we need to get out of this room and go
into the community.
The community, even if it's a work session without an agenda, just to listen to people's concerns or thoughts.
They don't call you on the phone?
Huh?
Come knock on your door?
Some do. Yeah.
Mine text me.
Some do. But to Kim's point, we heard, I mean, there's, and it's not anything that's happened now or whatever the case may be, but there are some pockets that don't feel heard or don't feel that they can trust or, and whatever we can do to try to restore that, you know, I think is a worthwhile endeavor. I know we talked about this a little bit. Do we have anything like a welcome to Fettlesburg packet?
Town Manager Doreen and I talked about doing that.
And just because the other day I saw a house, I know that folks just moved in, like recently sold property, folks just moved in, and I don't know if it was them or if it was someone that they hired to do like lawn maintenance, but like grass all on the street. And my first reaction was like, oh my God, like, this is, and then my second reaction was, do they even know? Do they even know that's a thing? You know, and so I just kind of reiterating, you know, that, you know, they may not know, don't do that, don't do this, don't put cardboard in your trash, like.
Right.
And maybe if it's not a laundry list of do nots, but just a, you know.
Well, services or where to find.
Yeah, where to find, you know.
We always try and give out the green garbage bags,
Yeah.
So when a house changes hands, do you guys get notice?
We're supposed to.
But you don't always.
Until they get a cutoff notice and they're like, I didn't know.
Right. So I was trying to think of a way to catch those real estate transactions so that we could give them a welcome packet.
I think you and I had that conversation about my neighbor. I mean, she had lived there, and it wasn't until she was delinquent on her water bill that was being sent to Texas to the old, you know, it had been forwarded on to the former owners. But she's also, I mean, she's a young woman who is a first-time homeowner and has no clue about how anything is supposed to run, so.
But even as we go on with AMI, you know, there's going to need to be a tutorial how to set up your account. You know what I mean?
I think we could do that at a public, like maybe that's where we have like one of those meetings as a whole PR, Chambers Park, right?
Yeah,
those are the kinds of things.
But I'm saying as people move in after that initial meeting.
Yes.
You know.
Could we do something like once that, like maybe at that meeting, videotape it and have it on our YouTube channel or on our website, and you can direct people to that.
We could do the directions on how to set it up. And we could even do, like, the QR code that sends them to the video on YouTube that says, you know, how do I, you know, questions on how to set up your, you know, app.
And you could screencast it, you know,
yes.
with a dummy account or something that we put in. But just, and like I said, it was, and that's just because I saw it, you know what I mean? And I went from sort of like, we don't do that, to, they don't know we don't do that.
Right.
You know, and so, just an idea out there. I will say, too, the last couple of weeks, I've really enjoyed seeing Nate's report.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I have, too.
I think he's doing a great job and reading the things that he's on top of and sort of matching it up in my head with, oh, yeah, I know where that, you know, and this, that, and the other. So I just, he's not here tonight, but I think he's, I enjoy reading those emails and seeing what's happening. Code enforcement is definitely a major concern out in Allen.
It is. The community is aware of all of that. Yeah. So.
Anything else? Is that a no?
That's a no. Oh, I'm sorry.
I'm sorry.
Okay, I'm like, me?
The only things that I have is you talked about CSAM, and then we did schedule the mayor's prayer breakfast for June, is that 16th, that Thursday. Mm-hmm. We have not had it for the past 2 years because of COVID, so this will be my first one, and we're excited to have it back. I know the churches are very excited, and the ladies at Union United were very excited. They get to cook for a crowd, so I hope you guys can make it. And then this Friday, I am doing Career Day at Federalsburg Elementary School. And I said, do you want it, like, for technology or, like, mayor? And they're like, mayor. And I was like, oh, well, okay. I'm not sure what I'm going to say. It's, you know, it's a job that you really have to love because you don't make any money at it. But it's a great, worthy cause. So I'm excited about seeing the kids and hanging out with them for the day at Federalsburg Elementary School. I do have a table, so I'd probably like maybe just take my gavel and maybe like, we don't have like a tablecloth or anything, do we? Like I can just put like I have a table, so.
You can get one from the Lions Club, probably.
I could. Yeah, well, I have black tablecloths at my house. I could always take up. She just said I had a table there was three other people at my table from the community, so I'm not sure who's at my table with me. I know she had reached out to. FPD, huh?
It's kind of morbid to have a black table.
All right, I'll get a better color one. I have a light green, maybe. How's that? I'd like to have a blue one that says Town of Federalsburg on
it.
But, you know, that's for future planning. That's all I have.
Your essays?
Oh, yes. So we need to turn the essay numbers in. So for those of you that... I just need that information so we can gather them.
I'm going to put mine on the bottom of it.
Yep, that's perfect. And then I can send it to Angel and we can... so I'm thinking we could probably have them come on the 16th since the 6th is pretty stacked. But we could have them come for the 16th for pictures. That gives them enough time to plan with the parents.
Well, she'll know.
And then...
That was just something
go from there as far as the If I Were Mayor contest. Obviously, none of our kids won because I saw the picture on the... was posted on MML's website with Jake Day and all the people that won. Wasn't any of our children, but I'm assuming, because we didn't get notified that we had a winner.
Well,
but
with home.
They're all winners in our minds, so we've got a couple that we can pick from, so we'll get them squared away. So
you and I have some of the same ones. So that's
that's
good.
Some of them were good.
Some of them were very good. Thank you. Okay, so do you guys have anything else for the greater good? If not, I'll take a motion to adjourn.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
All those opposed? Motion passes. Excellent. Thank you.